Your great grace, Jesus. Great love, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Exalt you and praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Magnify you, Jesus. We magnify you. Glory and honor. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Blessings and glory. All belongs to you. Father, we just lift you up. Hallelujah. We glorify the name of Jesus. Glorify you, Jesus. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lamb. Blessed be the Lamb. Hallelujah, Father. Just read you a few scriptures just to encourage you. How about that? Hallelujah. I think we ended Sunday by me telling you that there is a ET phone home call coming through. And the more that I celebrate His love, and the more that I stay in His presence, the more that I know He's coming back. Hallelujah. And I know this is all, it's all coming to an end. Now, I grew up in a church where they always preached Him coming back and the rapture and all that, the end times, but we always believed it, but now it's becoming, it's like it's all, it's a, the reality of revival, it's also coming on that kind of reality. Hallelujah. So I can't wait for it. But I know His coming back is preceded by a great outpouring. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So let me just encourage you just for a few moments. Just a few moments. And then we're just going to Second Corinthians chapter 5. We'll probably have to go to 4. Actually, why don't we start in 4? Look at verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Hallelujah. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Why? Because we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. When He said that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us, He's telling us that we need to learn to go ahead and settle in to what's inside of us and let what's inside of us wage the front and wage the warfare. Hallelujah. Because if it does, it has more than the capacity to meet the challenge. In other words, you might as well settle in and have a good time while you're having to fight. Not to get sadistic about it, but go ahead and just realize that the fight's always going to be there to some sort. And the clamor that your flesh gives you is usually the place between real peace and settling in and stepping back and through His grace allowing the excellency of the power to be not of you but of Him. Hallelujah. Because the moment that you begin to lose yourself and say, okay, now there's something inside of me that is, it is a treasure. It's in an earthen vessel. The problem is that the earthen vessel wants to stand between the treasure and the excellency of power of getting out on all this stuff. That's why we have to pray and fast. That's right. And fast. Because what it does is it condemns the flesh, quiets it down. You know, the hardest things that I've ever done before in my life is to know that there was locked up on the inside of me all kinds of an indigenous power. I mean, it was there. And yet something was rocking my world. It was seemingly steering me whichever way it wanted to go. And that's probably the hardest thing to reconcile at times. Is that you know that there's a treasure in there so strong, as Smith Wigglesworth used to say, and I love that saying. He said, I am 1,000 times, and he meant it, and he knew what he was saying. I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. He knew how to tap into the source, the bumfuzzling. I don't know if you know what that is. The confusing part of life sometimes is watching yourself kind of be steered around and manipulated by circumstances and flesh battles or emotional things, when you know that the excellency of the power has so much more to offer. Thank you, Gay, for reminding us of fasting. See, it comes from the floor. I don't have to be condemned to that when it comes from the floor. Why do we need to know this? Well, because we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Now, Paul is not talking about a one-time test or trial here. And need I remind you, lest you get, Dave coined it and it's hard to escape being a real good way to say it, in this life, not to be sadistic. This, when you find this out, it really frees you up. Because otherwise you think the devil's picking on you when you don't realize that the whole church is going through it. And by the way, we said this Sunday, but he said this Sunday. But it goes out to individual, male or female, because everybody's in a battle. Husbands, pray for your wives. Love them as Christ loved the church. And wives, pray for your husbands because of the battle that is out there. And I wish more could hear it, and perhaps more will pick up this message. But it's so important. Singles, pray one for another. And pray as the Lord brings people to your heart. Because we are, as it were, as we're going in to the end, we are going to be, and we are troubled on every side. Hallelujah. Now, like I was going to say, what Dave said, you're either at the beginning, middle, or the end of something going on. Some kind of test. Now, does that mean that you have to be defeated? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. In fact, what he was saying here is that you need to learn how to enjoy the ride. Go ahead and learn how to enjoy being troubled on every side, yet not being distressed. Perplexed actually means... Perplexed here means having multiple choices and not totally decisive yet. The enemy or the flesh ever try to condemn you or try to put you in a box because you knew that at present tense you didn't have all the answers to what was staring you down? And because you're supposed to be a Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled, tongue-talking believer, you should have your act together good enough that you, your family, your wife, your children, we should be like the Brady Bunch and have it all together. He said multiple choices, but even though I'm standing here looking down this road saying, see, I've already made the choice of Jesus. So whatever He brings back through the mind of Christ by the power of the Holy Ghost, that's going to be my ultimate choice. But sometimes I'm standing there saying, I'm not really sure how I'm going to handle this. I'm not sure how He's going to handle this. Glory be to God. We're perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. Hallelujah. Enjoy it. Yes, enjoy it. While it is there, learn not to put up with it, but learn to worship yourself right through it and just absolutely understand that it's there to try to divert you. And if you'll enjoy letting the excellency of the power be not of yourself, but of God, you'll get past it a lot faster. Hallelujah. I said the other day, no present party, you wouldn't probably guess, but they were telling me, you know, the fight that they had been in and they hadn't been around for a while. And I said, well, I know, you know, what took you out, that. And I know that it seemed real to you at the time. You know, it was a spirit of infirmity. And it, you know, you were sick almost every church service. But I said, now just think about it just for a second. I'll tell you what a spirit of infirmity does. That's what it is. It's a spirit of infirmity. But it derives its power by convincing you that you really are sick or that you got something wrong with you. And I said, now here's the deal. I'm not condemning you, but I said, here's the deal. You was good on Saturday. You could go here, 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 here. But Saturday night or Sunday morning, it either jumped here, here, there, back here once, hip shakes from left. I mean, something was out. You was all right during the rest of the week, but come service time or the day before, here it comes. But I said, you cannot. The only way you defeat a spirit of infirmity is this. The only way is just one way. You have to get so you have to understand that it's a spirit of infirmity, and then you have to begin to dive into this and enjoy the ride and understand and just say, look. I said, go ahead and start talking to it on Saturday night or Friday or, you know, on Sunday morning. Where are you? I know you're fixing to try to come. And then the other thing is, I said, you've got to really, I mean, it sounds exaggerative, but I said, in all God's honesty,
You've got to get where if they have to pull you here in a wheelchair, strap you into a gurney, bring you by ambulance. Because the only, as long as you ever give that thing excuse, he'll offer it every week. Every week. You could have danced. You could have danced on Saturday night, but on Sunday, oh, God, man. I don't know why that thing comes at 5 o'clock on Sunday morning. My God, I meant to be in church. You could have been powerfully strong, didn't have the flu, and you won't have the flu. The fever will go away after about 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. You'll feel real good. Now, is that truth or is that, I mean, that's... But the only way you begin to defeat that kind of spirit is you get meaner than it through the excellency of the power that's in you and say, okay, where are you? I guess you're going to try to come today too. Oh, glory to God. Call the ambulance because I'm going to church. Now, when you start defeating a spirit on its level, the bad thing is it's going to run off and try to figure out. It takes it. Sometimes it really does because the spirit world works. They have to communicate. Sometimes you'll go through a reprieve. I like reprieves. It takes them a while to figure out something else to come back at you with. The fun thing is, once you defeat them on a certain level, they really don't have that level to come at you with anymore. If you get where you show a spirit of infirmity, I'm coming if they have to, literally if they have to carry me in there. That spirit will go away because you defeated it. And then you got to figure out what you're going to do with the next one that comes along. But you treat it just like you treated that one. Glory be to God. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, where I really wanted to go, but we're not getting there, was over to 5. Let me just read through this because it's so powerful. 10 says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. We may go to some of this Sunday, so I'll leave part of that alone. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound unto the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Hallelujah. It's a good scripture on why it's important to go in and get daily manna from the Holy Spirit. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Hallelujah. This light affliction. he's basically saying, go ahead and enjoy it. I mean, you don't have to thank God for it because he's not the one sending it. But you can worship him for the grace right in the middle of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor, I just feel like I'm being picked on. No, you're just on the bench. Everybody's... you got to enjoy this ride. When we're going to have revival? Because I figured that was going to get rid of it. No, let's just go ahead and... I tell you what. Keep this attitude for the next 50, 60 years and I'll let you come off of it. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. And this is where E.T.'s starting to phone home. We have a building of God, a house. That's not that big mansion up there. This is that glorified body that he's talking about. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. If we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Hallelujah. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Well, we'll just stop right there, because Sunday we may go into some more of that. But we're groaning. I want to go home. But while I'm here, I'm not going to get tethered by, hamstrung by the present things around me. You know, Jesus, he wasn't pessimistic. He just had the same attitude too. He said, no need worrying about that. Just handle today's problems, because tomorrow's going to have its own problems. Isn't that? Our Master said that. He said, take no thought for tomorrow, because sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. But grace does much more abound. Hallelujah. Peace against trouble. Victory of spirit. Hallelujah. And it doesn't matter how many. So that if they come one at a time, you know, or if they come in whole tribes. Nothing, he said in Romans 8, shall be able to separate you. Principalities, plural, powers, plural. All these things, none of them are able to separate you from the love of God. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing when someone allows the earthen vessel to be cracked, what they can do? Now, it shouldn't be like this, but sometimes a tragedy will come along. Somebody will lose a loved one, a wife or a husband in a horrible car accident, or a child or something like that. I mean, just really something way out of the, you know, that wasn't God's will. And it normally, you'd think, my God, people get real concerned for them. Oh, God, how are they going to take it? They're going to die. They're going to go crazy. I mean, and then you'll watch people who allow themselves that peace that passes all understanding. They'll buck up to it. They'll say, okay, I'm either going to die in this thing, or I'm going to just fall back on God. And sure enough, anybody I've ever seen fall back on God, God came along, swooped in there and saved the day. I mean, you saw something of a person that you never saw. You saw a steel strength come forward, and they begin to square their shoulders back, and they begin to say, right in the face of, I mean, either you're going to go to bed at night and just moan and mourn yourself to death, or you're just going to receive the help that's from heaven. And people come through that. Most people think that that's a circumstantial kind of, okay, God saw that during that really hard time He's going to move in because they lost a loved one, and He better move in, because if He doesn't move in and just provide more grace, they're not going to make it. That's not really the way it is. What really happens is the grace, the excellency of the power that's always there. Usually something is deciphered in that person's mind and they just go like, I can't afford to even begin to fight this on my own. It's so far above me that I might as well just go ahead and relax and fall back on Jesus. And a moment they do, the excellency of the power comes out and here He is. And then they'll feel grace and peace as long as it takes, for months. And if they had to go through it for a year, it just seems like they were floating on a cloud. And they say, "Go, my God, I don't know how I even got by that. I don't know even how I got through that. It was like God brought me through that." And then a lot of times they'll say, "Man, just thank God for His sovereignty, because if God hadn't moved in..." No. The excellency of the power's always there. It's usually the thickness of the flesh man that's trying to do it on his own or her own, you know, just trying to get by and figure it out in the mind. But my God, if we could treat everything, I mean, drastic, major, drastic things, or small, little, teeny, tiny, never bugs. If we could treat it all one way, the excellency of the power. It's not of me, but it's of God. God, I fall back on You. Reign through me. Let Your grace reign through me. Then you say, "Okay, I'm troubled on the other side. It don't matter. I'm going through this. His glory and His grace is there." Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Wouldn't you like that same grace that, you know, because all of us have went through tragedy before, and we always look back and say, "My God, I don't know how to have gone through it if God hadn't have been there." Well, that's right. But it was because people knew they needed to just fall on God. Guess what? Tomorrow morning's Thursday morning, when I have my cup of coffee and it's a good while before daylight, I will be doing my best to put all of my dependency upon Him. Hallelujah. I will be trying my best to find in those hours how to put my dependency upon Him. And if somebody comes along 2 months from now, gives me $1 million, everything's going great. I mean, you couldn't even sit down and figure out a problem. Then I will all the more the next morning need to find how to set this earthen vessel down and put all my dependency upon Him. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matt, can you give us a worship song? Glory be to God. Glory. Now you can sit or stand, but we're going to go through one worship. And then I'll probably wait on you for the offering, and then we'll go home. But I had a good time, didn't you? Hallelujah. In fact, while we're worshiping, why don't you ask the Lord what He'd have you to give tonight? Your blessing blesses us and causes us to be able to continue to do the things that we're doing here. Praise God. So go ahead and let's just worship.